Hey, everybody. Welcome to the next episode of the Strand Tennis Center podcast, filled with tips, advice, tennis, not tennis, just life advice, too, whatever you need. Like it on YouTube. Share it on the podcast as well. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Strand Tennis Center podcast. It's so great during the holidays when we can get what? Am I on? Where we can get fantastic athletes back in town. It's so nice to see Caroline McGinley here. She is... Last time we talked to her, she was going to go to Clemson, but now she's got a different hoodie on. SMU.
Oh, yeah.
First, you have to give, well, welcome.
Thank you.
Great to see you. So happy and bubbly. I love it. So give me, we've been talking a lot. Go talk to the head coach of LSU, Taylor Fogelman, if you know who he is. Great guy. Talk about the transfer portal, all that stuff, but you didn't even do any of that. Give us the whole story between you accepting the Clemson and ending up at SMU. Give me a story. Go ahead.
All right. So last, like, October 2022, yep. I committed to Clemson. And then, like, a week later, the head coach got let go. And I was like, okay, it's fine. Like, I'm still going to stick with it. And then the assistant coach became the interim head. And I thought, like, she said it was up in the air whether she would have the job or not come the following season. And I was like, okay, yeah. Like, I loved her, so I was willing to wait. And then this past June, she also got let go, and they brought in three new coaches. And, like, it's, like, kind of like a whole thing when new coaches come in. And, I mean, I met all three of them, and I kind of was like, it's not really my fit anymore. And then, thankfully... Jeff, head coach now.
I work at SMU too.
Yeah. So my head coach reached out to me. We talked a lot, and then he flew down to watch me play at Clay's, gave me the offer at Clay's, and I took it right there. Awesome. And then I was on SMU campus 3 weeks later.
Wow. Because you were supposed to not go to Clemson until
like next week.
Next week.
Yeah.
So. Number one, did Clemson lose a lot of players because of that, or did they all stay? Did a lot of them stay?
No, because they didn't have anyone signed for the 2023 class.
Oh, they had no one signed
yet. Yeah, and I hadn't signed yet, so technically, yeah.
And no one decided to transfer, do you know of?
No.
Just curious. I
mean, the entire team's still there, I'm pretty sure.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing well, I'm sure.
I'm sure that's what the transfer portal's good for. If a coach leaves... That's the value of it. It happened when we were in school. You could transfer. You had to sit out a year. All this stuff. All these things happen.
Yeah.
Because coaches sign contracts. They leave all the time.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of loyalty to the school. So I get that we were talking about this, and I was talking to a Mickey Bruckner, who runs a professional sports baseball, mostly baseball players, in Chatham, you know, the Annex.
Yeah.
He was talking about the transfer portal as well. A lot of kids... They transfer too quick now. They get emotional instead of sticking with it. Do you have any transfers on your team?
Actually, so, yeah. But no one knew this year. We have a girl who's a senior who transferred from Nebraska.
Okay.
And then we have a girl who's a fifth year who transferred from NC State. A girl who transferred from Tennessee who's also a fifth year.
Okay.
And then our sixth year... played her 4 years of undergrad at UCLA. Okay. And I think that's everyone. Jeez. Maybe I'm missing one.
So I always say, like, when things happen, what's great about this? Are you happy that you're in school sooner?
Yeah. Yeah, the idea of going in January, I, like, accepted it. But for a while, I was kind of iffy about it. Okay. Because a lot of people do go in January, but it's not necessarily easy to adjust, like, when you just hop in the beginning of season. Yeah. Like, my season starts... this year, January 13th, and I can't imagine just, like, showing up on January 2nd as, like, a brand new kid and, like, trying to figure it out. But, I mean, I'm sure it works. People do it.
Yeah. How did the fall go?
Really good, actually. Yeah, I had a really good fall. My first fall tournament, I went undefeated.
Wow. That's awesome.
I know. I was so happy.
How many teams in that tournament? Was there, like...
A good amount.
A good amount,
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, it's individual, so it's just, like, draws, but... Yeah.
I remember the fall season with all the draws, all the
individuals. It was really fun. I enjoyed it.
So where are you playing on the lineup right now, you think?
We'll see. Probably bottom six.
Okay, sure.
And like three doubles, but I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
So you go there, you go on campus. Give me a practice schedule in the fall, because kids need to know this when they go to school, managing classes, managing schedules. What's your schedule like practice-wise in the fall? How was that?
Well, you start out in 8 hours, so...
Whoa! Those are that's the Vicenz kids. I know who they are. Balls will fly everywhere during the podcast, Santi. That's okay. Stay alive, Caroline. She's going to lose her scholarship. She's going to hit in the eye.
I'll get a concussion.
Go ahead.
No, but so we do 8 hours.
Okay.
So that's obviously light. It's like you literally can only be either playing tennis, in team meetings, or doing fitness for 8 hours of the week.
Yeah, that's the rule, right?
Yeah. So that's like, it definitely eases you into everything. And then once you go into 20 hours and then the fall competition starts, it's like a lot. Like, it's definitely a lot, but I mean.
Give me a day, though. Like, say in the morning, like, what's the practice schedule for one day? Like, what do you do?
In a 20-hour week, you do 2 hours of tennis, so like 9 to 11 was for us, and then an hour of fitness.
Okay. And the hour of fitness is right afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, we had to block off 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Okay. every day for, like, we couldn't have classes during that time, and our practice was always during that block.
How does a practice look? Is it, like Taylor says, like, if we have a two different sessions, I'll do private lessons with the girls first, then we'll do some group stuff. How is your practice lined up?
Yeah, so our practices are always team, and then if you want individual, it's, like, on top of that. So you have to ask for it, or, like, they'll schedule it sometimes. It just depends. I mean, the practice depends on the day. Sometimes it's a lot more drilling. Sometimes it's, like, all points. Some days, like, usually towards the end of the week, we would do match play. But, I mean, yeah, a lot of just, like, high intensity, like, depth drills, like, consistency. I mean, yeah.
How is the team? How's the culture? How are the people on you feel,
like,
supported?
Amazing.
Is it great?
It's amazing. Like, I love my team. People,
wow.
Like, before I went to school, so many people would be saying how their team didn't really get along. It, like, wasn't super enjoyable. And I mean, like, you think about it. Like, you want to get along with your team. And my team's, like, perfect. Like, we do everything together.
Wow.
Yeah. We're older, too, though. So it's, like, a lot of experience. And then the freshmen, like me and the other girl, we kind of just, like, follow along. But, I mean, like, I have a blast with them.
That's hard to do. They talk about, you know, cooperation, a cooperated effort. If you guys all have the same vision, you all want to go in the same direction, and do you guys set a team goal? Did you guys figure that out? Does the coach set it for you? Do you guys are kind of leading each other and saying, all right, this season, this is what we want to do? Do you guys put that together yourselves, or the coach kind of?
Yeah, I mean, so last year they did do really well. They won our conference, and I mean, I think the goal is to definitely win conference again.
Yeah.
It's our last year in the American Conference because we go to the ACCs next year.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely the goal. Last year they lost first round of NCAAs to Baylor, so I think making a better run in that is obviously a goal as well. But, I mean, like, so much about it is about team camaraderie and, like, how far that can get you. So we do spend a lot of time focusing on, like, pushing each other to the best person they can be. And, like, because in the end, like, that does get you very far.
So you guys have that vision of saying, all right, we're not going to think about the individual as much. Even though tennis is kind of an individual sport, you guys want to win as a team.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No one wants to go, I want to play one. And, you know, a lot of times there's four people that can play one.
Yeah.
It's just about sacrificing for the right lineup.
Yeah. And, like, the sixth position is just as important as the first position.
Yeah.
Like, even if it, like, might not seem like that, it is. So, I mean.
So, coach-wise, do you find yourself responding better? I always ask players this. Do you want less talking, more talking, specifics? Do you want – what do you need from your coach that you respond to the best, you think?
During a match?
Let's do both, practice and during a match.
Practice, we all know, like, what is expected from us. So it's usually, like, less talking, but, I mean – it's just, like, constructive criticism, if it is, which is necessary. Like, I do enjoy that. In matches, my, I guess, associate head coach was always on my court usually. I mean, like, not always, but she spent a lot of time on my court. And we would talk between, like, every point. And it wasn't all – sometimes it literally she'd, like, crack a joke to make me laugh. Like, half the time it wasn't even about tennis unless I needed it. But – I mean, like, we had fun, so.
Well, that's huge, because sometimes you just need to know the player. Some people don't need to talk about the match. They just need to feel relaxed.
Yeah, that's exactly, yeah.
Feel like your coach is confident in that person.
Yeah.
You know. So that's match day. You're saying practice more technical, they can talk. But you said even during the match he was talking much, but it doesn't matter. It's the right amount of talking or the right type of talk.
Yeah, it's never too much, never too little. Yeah, I was, like, really happy with it because, obviously, I've never been coached during a match before except for, like, spring teams, like spring team nationals.
Yeah, how is that? How is the difference between high school? Well, you can be coached. How's the feeling of being coached during a match a little different?
I love it.
Yeah.
Because it keeps me calm and, like, actually makes me think about what I should be doing. Yeah. Like, in high school, I would just get, like, overwhelmed with things, and then I would like get mad and stop thinking, and then God knows what would happen from there. But now I have my coaches like cracking jokes to me, or like just like little things, and I'm like, okay, this is actually what I need to do. Or she'll be like, this is working, like keep doing this, like keep running this pattern, or like try to get to the net and like stuff like that. So it keeps you focused, and like every single point you go in with a plan, which obviously helps a lot.
Yeah. That's where always the disconnect was. I don't know why that the pro tour wouldn't let you coach. I mean, they're coaching the way through, and then you stop. And I think it's a lot better that they're letting them coach.
Yeah.
They need it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's definitely different. I mean, some people might not like it as much, but I knew, like, going into school that I was going to enjoy it a lot more. Like, I think playing college tennis has made me enjoy the sport more.
Oh, it has?
Like,
so
a lot
burnt,
more.
Yeah, that's awesome.
No.
Usually some people get burnt out.
No, like, I love it. I mean, I'm new. I'm a freshman, so, like, I don't know, but I...
Maybe for you. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe you're happy because you were at Smith Stern. You weren't in high school for, what, a year or two?
Yeah.
So you miss maybe that environment, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love Smith Stern's. I love my time there. But it's different. Like, it's definitely different.
So how many... Smith Stern is down in Carolina, by the way, South Carolina. How many, like... There was 30 kids down there at Smith Stern, you said?
About, yeah.
Okay. And 40. You were, how many, were you working with all of them at the same, I mean, is it broken up into groups of 10, 12, how was it?
It's broken up. So there's probably like four or five groups, and it's just like based on level.
And now, mentally, how much pressure do you put on yourself, and what do you expect from yourself out there? What are your expectations?
I definitely put a lot of pressure on myself, especially because I started the season off like really strong. I had very high expectations of myself, like continuing the fall, which is like not a bad thing. It definitely hurt me a little bit. We had a home invite, and I played this girl. She was good. Like, I don't know. It was like the first match I had lost in the fall, so I was like, oh, like that's not. Like, I should do better. But, like, I really did everything I possibly could have, and I lost. Like, it just happened. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, I think being in the college environment, I've put less pressure on myself. And I don't know if it's because, like, I'm able to calm down during matches or if it's just, like, how it is. But, I mean, I did get to the point in the season where I felt like I had to be, like, winning everything. Not everything,
did.
But, like... I was like,
that's a hell of an expectation.
I want to win. Like, I wanted to win. Everyone wants to win.
Yeah, sure.
And I was new. I'm a freshman. Like, I don't know. I feel like every freshman almost feels like they have to prove themselves.
Sure, sure.
And I did. Like, I think I did a good job. But, I mean, there were times where I was like, hey, let's go. Like, come on. Like, but, yeah.
You're a head coach. How's that dynamic? Do you feel like... As a freshman, you're looking for that reassurance. Like, everybody has a coach, and you're looking for that person to give you that compliment. Do you feel like they come few and far between, or what do you feel from the head coach?
We have three coaches, and I would say they all compliment each other very well.
Okay.
So, well, first of all, our third coach, who's our assistant now.
Uh-huh.
Played at SMU for her fifth year, so she kind of knows. So she's younger, so she's like kind of one of us, but not really. And then, yeah, so I mean, they all compliment each other really well. My head coach has like makes it very clear what he wants from us, and like that's great. It's his program. And, like, if you do that, it's, like, you're good. Like, it's what the program is. It's what the program embodies. And it's, if you can do that, that's great. But if not, like, I mean, there's going to be issues. That's, like, every school, though. That's not... I mean, like, do what you're told and you're good.
Yeah, he lines out they line up the expectations. If you don't meet those expectations, how hard and fast are the rules? Like, some people have kind of a one-strike rule. What are the biggest, you know, so kids come into school, what are the biggest rules and regs that you should follow that are just zero tolerance? Is it being late? Is it whatever? I'm like, what is the major rule that you have to follow that you should be aware of?
No one's ever been late, okay. So I don't know about that one. I don't know what would happen. But, I mean, one of our biggest things is, like, as soon as you walk in the door to our room, like, everything from your outside life, like, it's out. Like, you don't – it's fine. Like, you're there to play tennis.
About phones and stuff? Or
no,
what
no,
you,
no. Oh, okay. Like, your issue, like, your personal issues, like, okay. You kind of leave them out there. And it's like you're there to play tennis and like you're there to work hard. We're a loud team. Like we're very loud. And like our coach likes that. Like he wants you to grunt. He wants you to yell, come on. He wants you to cheer okay. for the other girls. And that wasn't always like my thing. Like I never did that in juniors. And it makes it so much more fun. Like okay. I will say that. Like I love it now. Even though it was kind of hard to get myself to do in the beginning, because I was like, "What am I?" I was like, "What am I doing?"
rah rah.
Yeah, no, now it's awesome. But I mean,
dude, so he feels like that's almost like a rule. Like you have to root for your teammates, or else.
Yeah, because it is true that if one person isn't doing it and they're like the odd one out, like it does drag everyone else down. Okay. So our team's small. We had a few girls out for injuries this fall, so sometimes our practices would be like four girls. So if one out of four isn't doing what they can, like, it does make a difference.
Yeah. So on the mental side, are there any, you know, I feel like an old man when I mention books. Are there any things that he suggests, books? I mean, he's like, books, what are those paper things? Are there any things on that side that he recommends? Does he recommend you read anything, prepare anyway? Is there any type of mental side that he kind of, do you have... Not a psychologist, but some sort of person you can talk to in regards to that side.
We do not have, like, a sports psychologist. I mean, maybe we do, but we don't work with them. It's more of, like, if there's an issue, you'll sit down with the coaches, and, like, they'll try to dissect it with you, which is pretty similar. I mean, like, they know the game pretty well, so.
Sure.
In terms of reading anything, I know my coach does read things.
My coach reads things. That's number one.
He reads books about... like stuff like that, like mental toughness and stuff like that. But I mean, like nothing that my team has to read. There have been a few times where he's like printed out pieces of paper and like handed them out, and like they have different rules on them or like different things that he kind of expects from us. So I mean, that's reading.
Have you read any book yourself, Caroline, that you've been recommended that you said, wow, this is actually fantastic?
Relating to tennis? No.
What kind of books do you like to read?
There was, what is the book called? It's called like Atomic.
I thought you said, what is a book called? That was pretty funny.
It's called Atomic Habits.
Yeah. James Clear.
Yeah, yeah. I would really like to read that. Yeah. It's in my house right now. Maybe I'll get to that during the break.
No, it's
have you read it?
I have read parts of the book. I have not read all of the book. It's so popular, the book, that you end up hearing everything about it. I've heard them on interviews and all this stuff. You hear so many things that you're just like, do I even want to read this book anymore? Because
yeah,
I read
true.
The Power of Habit, which by Charles Duhigg, which is very similar. A lot of these books are very similar. His book has just blown up and been huge.
Yeah.
It's really habits are very keep things away. Most of the things it's what not to do. Like if you don't want to eat crap, keep it away from you. Don't keep it in the house, right?
Yeah.
All those things. Don't make it easy. Make things hard to do if you don't. If you want to avoid that happening.
Okay, that's interesting.
Make them easy if you want to do them, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so fitness-wise, what – because I always mention this to Santa. I'm into this cold plunge stuff. I cold plunge every morning, right?
Do you do?
Yeah. You guys do the ice baths? You have to do all those, right?
We don't have to.
Okay.
It took me a while to get in the ice bath. I'm not the type of person that enjoys doing that. But it does make you feel better.
Yeah.
Like, it is a good thing.
No, especially couple of things, especially after playing or doing hard cardio. It's great for your soreness. Sure. It's an inflammation help, right?
Yeah.
So do you find yourself going in every week now or no? Do you say, only
sometimes,
when I really feel bad?
Sometimes. Like, we have a ice bath and a hot bath.
Oh, so you have a good facility.
Super yeah, so facility. We have our own training room in our facility.
Okay.
So we don't have to share it with anyone else. And we have, like, the best trainer. Her name's Hannah. She's the absolute best.
Awesome.
But, yeah. I mean, all of us are in the training room at some point every day, but it's not always, like, necessary. Sometimes it's just going to have a conversation. But people will go, like, what is it called? Contrast?
Yeah, it's heat contrast. You go hot, cold, hot, cold,
I can't
cold.
Do that. Yeah. I've never even done it, but I know I can't.
It's fun. It's actually not as bad as you think. I've gone into the sauna, go to the plunge, because you actually warm up, and the plunge is a lot easier. You go back and
that's
forth.
That's true.
It's
maybe I'll try it when I get back
to school.
Cold
contrast, what am I talking about? Yes. It is.
Maybe I'll try
but
it.
But I've gotten addicted to it. I have one in my house.
Do you?
And I lose my mind.
It's all over my TikTok. Like cold plunge baths.
Yeah. You see? Now we're talking about it. The phone will hear it. It'll give you even more.
Yeah.
So, long-term goals. What do you... I know you're just a freshman. You're just starting this. Do you have... Like, because we talked to Anna Brylin about this. You know, she went to Wake and all this stuff. And then she was burnt out at the end, right? She was... Well, they won a national championship, whatever, in doubles. And she was just tired at the end.
Yeah. It's definitely tiring.
How do you feel... It's hard to know how you're going to feel. Do you actually want to play... tournaments in the summer, professional ones? Do you want to do all that stuff? Do you feel yourself go, I want to give this a shot?
I mean, I'll definitely play tournaments over the summers.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to play futures, but I mean, we'll see. I mean, I mean, I'll play tournaments for sure. I just don't know. I mean, I would love to try and play if I could.
Yeah.
Again, I have 3.5 years until I'm at that point, but I mean, if 3.5 years from now, I'm like, I still feel good. My body still feels good.
Yeah.
I still love it. Like, I'd love to keep playing.
It'd be good to have, like, Marion Bullfiver, who was here 2 summers ago. I don't know if you hit with her. She turned pro, right? She's from Georgia, from Russia. And she was like, I just started playing and getting points. And all of a sudden, somebody said, oh, you qualify for this. It just happened.
Yeah.
It just kind of rolled into the next. So if you end up playing well, and all of a sudden you get a point here, you know, do this, you're like, oh. Maybe I'll just do that. Usually it just kind of happens if you're doing well.
Yeah.
And the decision's kind of made.
Yeah, that is true. The summers are important, though, I think.
Okay. Like, to decide what you're going to do, you think. Whether you're, if you have a terrible summer, you think like terrible summers, you're like, well, maybe I'm just not great at this or saying. Is that what you're saying?
Well, in terms of going into the fall in a good position.
Okay.
I mean, so many kids don't really take the summers as seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone says that after, like, NCAAs in May, like, they're done for, like, 3 or 4 weeks, which I can literally completely understand. But, like, after that, those 2 months are important.
Yeah, they're
like,
huge.
I might spend the second half of my summer at school this year.
Okay.
Because it's just, like, an easy way. And, like, I take classes. And, I mean, then I know I'm, like, ready to go for the fall. Because they're moving NCAAs to the fall. Not this year. I don't remember when it's coming into effect, but NCAAs are going to be held in the fall now.
And then what do you look forward to in May? Now, what is it? Just your conference tournament? That's
I
it?
I guess, yeah.
Why
I don't
they
know
move
when
them
it
to
comes
the fall?
In. I don't know. It doesn't really make sense to me because then, like, you're not at school for 2.5 months,
yeah,
3 months.
Yeah, you're not really.
And then they're like, oh, let's go into NCAAs.
It's got to be some logistic thing with something else. I don't know.
It's probably injuries. So many people get hurt.
Well, maybe that's true, too. And they're out. That could be a good point.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
But we got a minute left. 2 minutes left. What do you think of Texas, by the way?
I love it.
You do? What's your favorite thing? You like barbecue? Like, what's your favorite thing?
I like wearing my cowboy boots.
Is that just a standard thing? You go out, you wear the cowboy boots.
Not everywhere. But any chance I get, I wear them.
Wow.
I even got earrings that have little cowboy boots on them.
That's a mess.
I say y'all.
Is the football team getting any better? You don't realize.
They're good this year.
Yeah, they're good. But you don't realize when they had the death penalty and all that stuff. You don't remember this. When I was a kid, they canceled the whole program.
At SMU.
Yeah.
Actually, I didn't hear about that.
This is after Eric Dickerson and all those great players.
Yeah.
They canceled the whole program because of terrible conduct going on. So they gave it the death penalty. I think it's the only time. So they canceled the whole program.
Wow.
And that destroyed them for 20 years. So think about it. When you cancel a program, how long? Like the men's tennis program at Rutgers has been canceled for 20 years.
Yeah.
They'll never be able to get a team. It'll take them 20 years to get any players. So they're supposed to be, it took that long, and they're finally getting better.
Yeah, they were good this year. Like, yeah. They play tomorrow. They play Boston College in the bowl game.
Yeah, it's awesome.
In Boston, though.
Well, we're glad you're doing well, though.
Yeah.
I know. He's loving
it's
everything.
It's been fun. It's been a good semester.
You're just a positive person. That's key. You have to just look at things. And I was telling, not Santi, but Chris, is when you're looking backwards, anybody that I know that looks backwards all the time is really a negative person. Always
yeah,
look
that's
forward.
Very true.
Always look forward. Even successful people that have accomplished these great things, they don't look back at them. They look forward.
Yeah.
So always be looking forward. Always be looking at what you can do, the opportunities that lie ahead. Everybody, thank you, Santi. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Great to see you. We're going to have a hit. I'll see you later. Thanks, everybody.
Hey, everybody. Hope you like the podcast. Please share it with your friends, anybody that you know, anybody that's into tennis, anybody that's into bettering themselves, share it.